North Rock Podcast.
All right. Well, this weekend is Palm Sunday. For those of you that don't know, it represents Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. If you've heard the story, you've seen the picture, he's riding in. He rides in on a donkey, and many come together with palm branches, with their cloaks, with all kinds of different things to celebrate Jesus coming in and Jesus being their king. Palm Sunday is an important time in Christian history, in the church's history, because it's very symbolic of what's about to come. It begins Holy Week for many Christians around the world, and that's what we are embarking upon this week, is Holy Week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, leading up to the greatest story ever told, the greatest event in mankind, in the history of mankind happens next weekend is when we celebrate that Resurrection Sunday. I'm excited, not because we don't celebrate this all year long, but because this is a weekend where we come together, where all around the world people are celebrating this incredible, incredible thing that happened. So as people came with their palm branches, they proclaimed this word. They proclaimed the word Hosanna. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. This word Hosanna meant save. It's them coming together saying, here is the one, here is the king that came to save us. Here's the king that came to make a difference in our lives. We're told that Jesus rode on a donkey, which fulfilled the prophecy that he would ride in on a donkey. And in this riding in on a donkey is very symbolic because in this time in human history, if someone was going to come in and establish their rulership, establish their kingdom, what they would normally do is they'd come in on a horse, a very powerful horse. And the symbolism of them riding in on a horse was, I've come to conquer, and usually it was done with an iron fist. If someone was to ride in on a donkey or a mule, then it was different. They were there coming in peace. So they were coming, maybe for the same reasons, but coming in a different way. So Jesus riding in on a donkey was very symbolic of what he was all about. He came to bring peace to this world. But he also came to establish his rulership, to establish himself as king, as the king of this kingdom. We're going to talk today about kingdoms. During this time, this was a big deal. Who was king of the kingdom made all the difference in the world for people. It determined whether someone would have freedom and life in that kingdom. It determined where they would stand in the social economic class of people at that time. And so kingdom was a very big thing. And the Bible talks a lot about kingdoms. So when Jesus comes in, people show up. They realize this is the king that's been prophesied to us. This is the one that's going to come and be our king to save us. So what they did was they brought palm branches, which were symbols of triumph, eternal life, and peace. Now, it's very rare that something would symbolize triumph but also peace. Because usually in this time, in this Jewish culture, triumph was won by war, by conquering, by the iron fist. And so Jesus came in, and he did it in a completely different way. And so by doing that, he actually wasn't recognized by a lot of people because they thought, we want that king that's going to come in, and heads are going to roll for our sake. And that's not the way Jesus decided to do it. Jesus came to bring peace. He came to make peace. That's what the whole story is about. Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead was that he might make peace with us, that we might no longer be enemies of God, but that we might have full access and relationship to God. He made peace so that we now have nothing standing in the way between us and God. He became that bridge for us. He made peace with us. If you're here today and you haven't heard much about this, I want you to know something. God made peace with you through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing standing in the way now between you and God. Nothing. Before, it might have been your sin. All that is standing in the way now is just you simply saying yes and walking over that bridge that Jesus created between us and God. We have unfiltered relationship now with our Father in heaven, and it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I want to talk about kingdom. I want to talk about Jesus and his kingdom. When Jesus came in on that donkey, what he was doing was he was establishing himself as king, but not king of any nation, not king of any kind of a government that we saw during this time. He was establishing himself in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. Now, a lot of times when we hear the kingdom of heaven, what we think about, I remember growing up when I'd hear kingdom of heaven, what I would think about was I go there after I die. It's not at all what this is talking about. In fact, I'm going to show you today that this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God is here on this earth right now. And that we have a choice of either being a part of the kingdom of heaven on earth right now or the kingdom of this world. There's only two kingdoms, and we have the choice of which one we are going to surrender to, which one we're going to say, okay, I want to serve under that king. I want to serve under that kingdom because of what it represents. We have a choice. We have, for thousands of years now, had the choice between the kingdoms that are here on this earth. Let's talk about this a little bit. What is the kingdom of heaven? We see in John 3:3, Jesus replies. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So how do we see the kingdom of heaven? You're born again. You enter into a relationship with the king, and you become now a part of this kingdom. Matthew 6, when Jesus tells us how to pray, he says, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we see that this kingdom has come to earth. Jesus came to earth, and when he came to earth, so did the kingdom of heaven. Jesus literally brought heaven down to earth. Now, it's not the same. When we are in eternity after we pass away, it's different in the sense that we're no longer attached to this world and the things of this world, the pain, the heartache, the suffering that goes on in this world. It's a part of living in this world. But what happens is we can begin to live eternally on this planet because of Jesus coming and establishing the kingdom here. Matthew 6:33, it tells us if we're going to seek anything while we're on this planet, here's what we must seek. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Another thing we see here is that everything we need is found where? In the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. Then we see in Matthew 5:3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. He's talking about the spiritually poor here, those who realize their need for him. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, I would imagine that the many people that showed up on Palm Sunday with the palm branches, with their cloaks that they're laying out, so that Jesus may walk on that and not have to walk on dirt, because they realize this is their new king. I would imagine that the majority, if not all of them, that were there that day were poor in spirit, realizing their need for a king. The Bible says that happy are those, blessed are those who are poor in spirit and realize we need a Savior. We need to be a part of this kingdom. We need a good king who has come to save us and to be on our side. So how do you inherit the kingdom of heaven? You realize that you need it. You realize that you need Jesus. Luke 17:20-21. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. And what is he saying? He's saying, hello? Come on, guys that I've been hanging out with nonstop day and night, right here. And they're like, when's the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus is like, you're talking to him. I am the king. But again, we look for the wrong things, don't we, as humans? We've been doing that for years. For thousands of years, we look for the wrong thing when it's right there in front of us. What is caring for the poor? What is forgiveness? What is justice in this world? What is caring for the things and the people around you? That is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that we don't recognize because we're so busy looking for the religious stuff. When it's all right there. And that's what happened. The religious people of that time, they didn't see Jesus. They didn't see that he was this new king setting up this new kingdom. Why? Because they were too busy with their religious laws and rules. and missed out on the relationship. That's what religion is. It's rules without relationship. Religion with Jesus Christ gives you 100% full access to the kingdom of heaven that starts now and goes on forever, for eternity. Yes, thanks for saying amen. If there's any time to be able to say amen, it's right there. I love it. So let's look at these two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms in this world. It's the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, as the Bible describes it. And there's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we get to be a part of if we have a relationship with the king. So here's the kingdom of this world. Who's the king? Satan. He's the king. He's the one that rules over this, over the darkness of this world. He's the liar. He's the one that's described in the Bible as he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And he knows that he doesn't have access to those in the kingdom of heaven. So what does he do? He gets those that are in the kingdom of darkness. What's the motto of this kingdom? The motto of this kingdom, if you were to walk in the door of this kingdom, there'd be a nice big plaque there and it'd say, "As for me and my house, we will serve ourselves." That's right. Self-satisfaction. Do it because this is all we have right now. Do anything you can to find your own satisfaction. What are the activities in the kingdom of this world? War, hate, debauchery, which is all kinds of different sins, depression, pain. That's the kingdom of this world. Who are the VIPs in this world? Who are the very important people in this world? It's the rich and the powerful. And then there's these three people that I know very well: me, myself, and I. You guys familiar with those silly guys? Yeah? Here's the outlook in the kingdom of this world: hopeless, confused, temporary happiness. Do everything you can to get your own happiness and seek after it on your own. What are the fruit of this kingdom? The results. What's the produce of this kingdom? It's jealousy, envy, greed, indifference, emptiness, depression, addiction, anger, etc. Now let me stop right here. On outlook and fruit, if you're out there and you're thinking, you know what, I don't know, I'm not buying this from this guy. I don't think this is really, really true. If you don't believe me, go home tonight and watch the news. You'll see that this is the truth. This is what I'm talking about. You'll see that it's true, that this is the kingdom of this world, and this is what it produces. Look at listen, I'm not trying to be mean by saying this, but look at the latest celebrity that take their lives or addicted to some sort of drug or ready to take their lives. Because what happens is you seek after the things of this world. You go after the things, fame, fortune. You go after these things that the world sets up and says, this is how you achieve, this is how you arrive. And when you go after those things, you only come up empty. Time after time after time after time. And let me tell you something. I've lived in both of these kingdoms. How many of you can say you've lived in the kingdom of this world? You've also lived in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know about you, but the kingdom of heaven is so much better than the kingdom of this world. It has meaning. It has purpose. Let's go on to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This is what it looks like. The next slide here. Who's the king? That's right. Who's the king? The name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is and was and is to come, the Savior of this world. That's the king of this kingdom. I love it. Oh, listen to what it says. Psalm 145, 11 through 13. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds, about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 23. This is a prophecy of Jesus coming to establish his rule over this world, over this kingdom. For the time is coming, says the Lord. And this is a long time before Jesus was even born. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom, and he will do what is just and right throughout the land. And his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. We serve a good king. He does what is just and what is right. And we should be privileged to be a part of this kingdom. What's the motto of this kingdom? The motto is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. It even includes love your enemy. That's so different from the rulership of this world, the kingdom of this world. Your enemy, they did you wrong, you go after them. Revenge, do anything you can to get even with your enemy. What did Jesus say? He said things like, when someone slaps your face, turn the other cheek, give them the other side. That's hard to do, but that's the kingdom that we're talking about. It's a kingdom that we live in. Love God, love others. Jesus said in Matthew 22, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That shows a picture of intimacy with our Father, with our King. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally as important. Love your neighbor, not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. Things are done differently in this kingdom. Jesus came down and he didn't come riding in on a big horse. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stinky manger. He didn't die and get put in the ground in this great, what's the word? There's a word I'm looking for. Anyways, in this great tomb, we'll just say that. No, he died in a humiliating way, but he did it all so that he could get down to our level. He made himself a servant for us, so that we could also do the same when we love others as ourselves, as we love ourselves. The activities in the kingdom of heaven that's here on this earth, the kingdom of God, the activities are love, mercy, justice, abundant living. Jesus said, I came to this life, came to this earth to give you life, to give you life more abundant. It also says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. Another one that I didn't put on here, I should have put it on here, is it's a kingdom of healing. It's a kingdom of healing and hope. If you don't believe me, come to Celebrate Recovery on a Friday night. I was just here last Friday night, and I was just so moved again at how Jesus is healing when people will allow him to come in and bring healing in their lives. It doesn't just happen on Friday nights, but it's happening big time on Friday nights. Jesus loves to heal physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus is healing. It's a part of the kingdom that he set up on this earth. And the ultimate healing is after this life, where we're completely healed. We may not be completely healed in this life. We may not be completely healed from some of the things that physically come after us. But Jesus begins the healing now, and it continues on for eternity. So who are the VIPs in this kingdom? Who are the very important people? The Bible talks about the poor, the orphans, the widows, the foreigners, the helpless, the outcast, the marginalized. Many times in Scripture, painted a picture for us of those who we are to pay attention to. In fact, in Matthew 25, he says, when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. And they said, when did we ever do that? And Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. These are the very important people in the kingdom. These are the people that you must pay attention to. We also see in James 1:27, it says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of our Father is taking care of the widows and the orphans in their distress and not allowing the world to corrupt you. We see something completely different. You don't see that in the kingdom of this world, but you do see it in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that is ruled by someone that does what is just and what is right, and that's Jesus Christ. What's the outlook of this kingdom? The outlook of this kingdom is hope and purpose, meaning. I don't know about you, but when I was in the kingdom of this world, you've heard my story for years. Through high school and just after high school, I completely ran away from God and completely just did my own thing. I was like the prodigal son who looked out the window and was like, saw the lights of Vegas and saw the lights of whatever. And it was just like, you look out and there it is, like. And I just ran. I know that's weird. Thank you. I hope no one took a picture right then. Someone's videoing. It's going to be on Facebook like in 2 seconds. Just tag me, okay? But that's what happened to me. I went out and I spent my money on wild living, as we see it says there in the story, only to find out that everything that I pursued came up so empty, so hopeless. Everything that I thought I needed in this world, I realized when I was out there, I had it all along. Why did I ever leave? And I ran back. When I was 18, 19 years old, I ran back. I said, God, you have my heart. I understand your kingdom. I want to be a part of your kingdom and not this kingdom anymore. All this kingdom does, it's all about me. It's all about me. All about me trying to do things on my own, find satisfaction and happiness and joy on my own, and I'm not finding it. And so God drew me back to the kingdom of hope and purpose and meaning, and that's where I found my purpose. Do you know the first week that I rededicated my life to God, three different people, I was at a camp, at separate times, none of them knew that the other person was doing this, came up to me and they said, I don't know why, but I just felt like God told me I'm supposed to share the scripture with you. And I was like, okay. And the first one said, it's in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future, for good and not for evil. And I was like, okay, cool. I was like, well, that's random. That's one person. Seriously, then the next person comes up to me. Same week, and this is right after I said, God, have my life. Take it. I want to be a part of your kingdom. Another person, second person, comes up to me. He said, I just feel like God told me I'm supposed to give you this scripture. I was reading it, and I felt like it's for you. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a hope and a future, for good and not for evil. It's like, okay, huh, that's two in a row here. Third time's a charm, right? Third person walks up to me, same thing, same week, walks up to me and says, hey, this is weird. I know you can call me a weirdo. They said, but I've got a scripture that God told me I'm supposed to give you. I put on my heart to give you. And I said, let me guess, Jeremiah 29:11. And this person said, yeah, how did you know? I said, because he's already told me twice. And I know that sometimes it takes three times with me. How many times has God spoken to you once and you're like, I don't know about that? Sometimes it takes a few times, doesn't it? Maybe it's from a teaching or a preacher or a podcast, or as you're reading the Bible, or God's just speaking to you. All right, let me move on. Here's the fruit of this kingdom. Here's the produce of this kingdom. Here's what's produced in this kingdom. We find it in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we didn't talk on the last page, but there was the whole YOLO thing that you hear all the time. Did you guys see that on the last page? Did I get to all of them but that one on the last page? Okay, good. It's probably best because the last two services, I've been digging my whole YOLO thing. YOLO is you only live once, and that's the mentality of the kingdom of this world. You only live once, so live it up, right? Do it right. Well, yeah, there we go. Thank you. Let's go on to the next one. Here's my mind for this one. You only, and it's supposed to say live, so I'm messing this up all over the place, but love works too. You only live forever, so YOLF, right? Okay. Let's move on. All right. You only live forever. John 3:16, God loved you so much. He loved this world so much that he sent his only son so that we could have life eternal. You don't just live once. You live forever. You live from now until eternity because God made it that way. He purchased you at a price so that he could have you for eternity. So that's the kingdom that's been established on this earth. Now I want to talk about, in closing and finishing up, about what role do we play in all of this? This is actually kind of part two from last week when we talked about sharing your faith. I want to show you what our responsibility is, but also our privilege is in this world. And I want to show you from Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to read a good chunk of this. Colossians chapter 1. Last week, you guys heard me talk about, I got the chance to go to the country of Greece and Albania, those countries. And in Greece, I got to walk in a lot of the places where the Apostle Paul walked. And one of the churches that he set up was the Colossians, the church in Colossae. And this is a letter written by Paul to the church, the Colossians, I love his approach. And as we read through this, I want you to look at this through the lens of the kingdom of heaven. Because Paul, he didn't make it his mission just to get people into heaven. He made it his mission to get people into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that's here on this earth, because he knew that if they could get into this kingdom, it's a better way of living. It's a life of fulfillment. It's a life of others. It's a life of goodness, love, and forgiveness. So let's read this together, Colossians 1, 3 through 14, and read it with me through the lens, through the scope of the kingdom. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by what? By changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. This kingdom of grace changes lives. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Now I want you to really pay attention to verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Awesome, right? I mean, right there, if this was a ball game, that's the winning shot right there. The clock is out, the ball has gone in, we won. Why? Because of what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. But let me show you what Paul's approach is to evangelism. It's not just trying to get people into heaven. It's trying to get people into the kingdom of heaven. And he says there, you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So what are we as the church? And remember, as the church, we're not the building. It's the people. The church, we are the church. This building isn't the church. This is a church building. We are the church. What do we play? What is our role in this? Well, I'm going to show you with this next slide. Go ahead and put it up. We are the kingdom moving company. Come on, somebody. Giddy up. We are moving you from darkness into light. Totally free, no strings attached. All someone has to do is say yes. Now, I believe this should be our approach to evangelism, our approach to sharing our faith. It's not trying to twist people's arms or argue with people to get them on our side. It's about compelling them that they're in the wrong kingdom. I'm telling you, you tell someone about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of love, mercy, forgiveness, goodness, all the things you saw, and they will want that in their lives, even if they don't say it right away. How many of us can think of someone in our lives? It might have just been through the example of how they led their lives. Maybe it's through conversations we had with them. Weren't they describing the kingdom of heaven to you? And at some point, didn't you say, you know what? Man, this kingdom of me isn't working out so well. This kingdom of self, this kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, I can't see anything. Stubbing my toe left and right, I'm running into things. But when the light comes on, when the kingdom of light casts the kingdom of darkness aside, something beautiful, something wonderful happens. And that's the story of Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating this next week, is moving. We get to be kingdom movers. Walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm here to help you move. Pack it up. Come on, buddy. Be like, what are you talking about? Well, you're living in the wrong kingdom. They're like, what? Yeah, you are. There's two kingdoms. Which one do you want to be a part of? Let me tell you about the kingdom that I'm a part of. Let me tell you about the king of this kingdom who sat with this woman at the well, who stood up for this woman who's about to get stoned and said, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save the world. The same king that suffered on the cross so that I could have life. He came to save me. This is the king that rules over the kingdom that I'm talking about. You know what doesn't rule over this kingdom? Religion, church. Jesus does. Again, religion is rules without relationship. Jesus is all about relationship and how can I be in relationship with mankind so that they might inherit everything that I came to give them. That's our approach as people in this kingdom. We can't be just happy living in this kingdom with everything that's intended of it, everything that comes along with this kingdom. We can't just be happy, and as we talked about last week, we can't become spiritual gluttons and lazy and just not caring about the rest of this world. We have to understand that Jesus is the answer to all of humanity's needs. And listen, it's not, again, don't argue with people. Compel them with love. Compel them with what compelled you. Again, for me, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart because I saw people that were acting like Jesus. And I wanted to be a part of that. When I saw people being the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, I thought, yeah, I get that. I don't get a lot of the stuff about religion and the church, but I get that. And I'm not talking bad about the church because, again, we are the church. But I'm talking bad about the institution. I'm talking about what we set up in our lives as idols that get in the way between us and Jesus. Does that make sense? The kingdom of Jesus is one that people will look at and want to be a part of. And we are the kingdom movers. You okay with that? Yeah? We should get moving shirt, shouldn't we? We are the North Rock Kingdom Movers. We're helping you to pack up your stuff. You know, what's interesting is you don't need nearly the amount of baggage in this new kingdom that you needed in this other kingdom. Leave the baggage behind. Don't even pack that stuff. That's the beauty about moving, is you get rid of your junk, right? When you move to a new house, how much stuff do you find that's like, we still have this? Do some moral inventory in your life. You're going to be like, I still have this? Man, I picked this up when I was 12 years old. Why is it still in my life? Jesus says that's not meant to be in your life anymore. I came to bring you freedom from that. So let's move on over. We're moving on up. All right. That's our theme song. Let me just end with this. Matthew 3:2. Jesus says this. It's as clear as this. Repent of your sins. Repent means you turn around, you do a 180, and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Another translation says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means the kingdom of heaven is here. It's among us. So what's our response to that? We turn around and we run towards it with all of our heart. We run towards God with all of our heart. And along the way, we take people with us because we're the kingdom movers, all right? Can I challenge us on something? We have a really, really good opportunity this week with Resurrection Sunday coming up next week. Everybody that comes next week, everybody that's in this building is going to hear about Jesus Christ, about this new kingdom. And we're going to, in some ways, put Jesus to the test next week and look at what is the evidence that he even says he is who he says he is. And so I just want to, if there's one Sunday every year that I really encourage people to bring someone. Now, we should do it every week, but bring someone next week. You'll be surprised by when you invite someone, how someone might just be waiting. It's Easter. Some people go to church only on Easter and Christmas, and maybe they're just waiting for an invitation from you. But I really believe next week is going to be a powerful week. It's going to be a powerful time together. So two things you have to do this week. You have to fill out that survey form for us that like seven of you said you were going to fill out. Hopefully there's more. And then start to ask people that you know, people in your neighborhood, if they'll come to church. We've just simply developed a relationship with people in our neighborhood, and I think three different people in our neighborhood have come to our church at one point or another, just simply by talking to them, by just being in relationship with them. This is a song that really talks about what we've talked about this morning, and I just want us to join together. Go ahead and bring the lights down just a little bit, and let's just really think about what we're singing this morning, and really think about this idea of the kingdom in our lives. Let me pray, okay? Father, we thank you for this message of hope, this message of freedom, this message of a good king that rules and reigns over this kingdom. God, I just pray that we would submit ourselves to the kingship, to the lordship of this good and just and right king. Jesus, we thank you for doing what you did for us on the cross. Lord, I pray that we would recognize our privilege and responsibility in this world to bring people along with us. We thank you, God. Thank you, and we give you praise, God. Just quickly, while every eye is closed, I want to give an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for you, that you'll be saved. That you can instantly be a part of this kingdom. And if you've never done that, I want to give that opportunity this morning. The first service, we had four or five people that said yes for the very first time. If you're here today and you have never said yes to Jesus, if you aren't a part of this, if you don't have a relationship with him, this is the greatest decision you could ever make. Would you just lift your hand right where you're at? I would love to lead you into this morning. Just lift your hand right where you're at if that's something that you'd like to do. I see your hand over here. I see your hand, sir. Go ahead and put your hand down after you lift. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? The Bible says that there's literally a party in heaven going on when someone enters into this relationship. Anybody else, just before we move on? Lift your hand high so that I can see you. Thank you, God. Well, I'm going to pray right now, and I would ask those that raise their hand, and even if you didn't raise your hand, but this is something you'd like to do, that you would just join with me in this prayer. You don't have to repeat it, but let this be your heart's prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus, that while I was still a sinner, you died for me. And that, God, I now have a relationship with the creator of the universe. That's been your plan all along for my life. And that now I am in that, and that I have a good father and I have a good king. I thank you for the eternal life that you offer me. I thank you for the kingdom that I can live in now. In Jesus' name. Praise God. If you raise your hand this morning, I'd love to give you a Bible and a book this morning after the service if you'd come up, and love to meet you too and answer any questions that you might have. We'll help you get started. Another thing is we have a class that goes every month. It's 4 weeks long, starts every month, the first Sunday of every month during our 11 o'clock service upstairs. And it's called Starting Your Journey with Christ, or Starting Again. It's for anybody, but especially for those who enter into a new relationship. We realize that it's not the easiest thing. What do I do now? I have this relationship with God. It's a journey that you begin. It's a beautiful journey.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.